I have a few things that I'm very grateful for. Number one, I'm grateful for you guys. The Lord has seen it fit to bless me with an awesome church family. I am so, so thankful and so, so grateful for you guys. Never did anything to deserve you, but I got you, and I am grateful. I am also grateful for my pastor and his wife. Y'all don't know how blessed we are. We're really, really blessed. I am one lucky girl. And I'm grateful for God. I love him, guys. Like, I really, 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 really am in love with Jesus. And I am so grateful that he'd allow me to do this. I don't deserve it, but he shows grace and he shows mercy to me every day. And I am just so grateful that he is allowing me to do this. If you'll turn with me tonight to Lamentations chapter 3, we'll be reading from verse 19 down to verse 24. Ready? Okay. Let's read together. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. I want to speak to you for a little bit this evening on the topic, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are so good, Lord. And tonight, we really just want to hear from you. We want to feel your spirit and we want to hear your word, and we want it to do something in us that changes us and make us a little bit more like you. So, Lord, we pray tonight that you would show up and that you would speak and that you would let it be powerful, and your name will be glorified in the middle of it all. In the wonderful name of Jesus, you may be seated tonight. I have a hobby that some of you might know about, especially some of the ladies might know about. I don't spend as much time doing it as I used to, but I actually like researching the history of hymns. What were the circumstances behind some of the most awe-inspiring words that were ever written? It fascinates me. One of my personal favorites is, Precious Lord, take my hand. You might know it. It says, lead me on and let me stand. It's an inspiring, comforting hymn. And when we look behind the words, what we see is that the heartache led the author to pen this hymn. It was written by Thomas Dorsey, a man who wrote over 200 gospel songs during his lifetime. At the age of 32 years old, he left his very pregnant wife to minister at a revival meeting in St. Louis, Missouri. While ministering, he received a telegram that simply said, "Your wife is dead." His child would be dead within the next few days, and Precious Lord, Take My Hand was born. It's fascinating, the history behind these hymns that we sing. Given my fascination with the history of hymns, when the Lord gave me the topic of Lamentations chapter 3 to present to you tonight, I naturally thought of that hymn that has been sung by many over the ages, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It was written in 1925 by a man named Thomas Chisholm. Great is Thy Faithfulness in 2017 is still one of the best known hymns that you'll find in a hymnal if you know what a hymnal is. It is a great hymn, though. It inspires hope and trust in God and has been a comfort to many over the years. And as I researched the hymn, what I thought was that I was going to find a man who had gone through some kind of tragedy. He had lived a painful but victorious life in order to pen this hymn. That's not what I found. What I found was a man that had lived a life absent of tremendous highs and tremendous lows. He had lived a very normal, average, everyday life, and at the end of which he had come to the conclusion that the Lord had kept him. The Lord had been faithful to him. I say this first of all tonight because, you see, we often think of the faithfulness of God in regards to trials and struggles. Despite the things that someone has been through, God was still there. Despite the fact that there at times seemed to be no provision, God was still there. But the fact remains that on the different roads that we may travel in life, the same God in every situation is always faithful. The faithfulness of God is not always measured by the things that he brings us through. But the faithfulness of God says that whether he was there with us, whether our lives was marked by great success and we felt like our life was really, really good, he was there with us, though, if our life was marked by great pain and disappointment and we felt like we really could have had a better life. But even if we lived a life that wasn't very accomplished, that nothing really seemed to go super good or super bad, the same God was still faithful to us simply because at the end of it all, we were still standing. He never left us. Some words used by Merriam-Webster to describe faithfulness: loyal, constant, devoted, committed. No matter the circumstances of the life we're called to live, God is loyal. He is constant. He is steadfast, and he is committed to his people. He is a faithful God. We can trust him to do whatever it is that he has promised us to do simply because he is faithful. If he said that he would never leave us and forsake us, you better believe it that he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what your life might look like, because he is faithful to his promises. He is a faithful God. 100 years before the events leading to the book of Lamentations, Isaiah prophesies to Israel, if you don't turn to God, judgment is coming. Jeremiah then begins to tell Judah, return to God and he will return to you. It might seem like all these nations are coming after you right now, but all you have to do is get right with God. Get right with him and he will protect you. Falling on deaf ears like the prophets before him, Jeremiah then finds himself prophesying to Judah, the judgment of the Lord is at hand. Prepare for punishment. For 50 years, Jeremiah was mocked, ridiculed, starved, and cursed, even by his own friends. Judah, though, decided that serving the world was more important than serving God, and after 100 years of warnings, God had had enough, and Babylon invades. The temple is in ruins. Jerusalem is burning and his people is in captivity. Jeremiah becomes a weeping prophet. He is heartbroken over the loss of his country, his culture, his people, and even the temple. Everything that he knew in life was gone because of a people that refused to put God first. Saints, tonight, if you do not put God first in your life, you could lose everything. But in the middle of pain and in the middle of desolation, a weeping prophet is able to say, but God, you are still faithful. In fact, he said, God, you are more than faithful. Great is your faithfulness. This place might hurt. This place might seem like it's hopeless to the eyes, but I'm going to place my hope in the God of Israel because the God of Israel is a faithful God. You must be careful that when you look at the circumstances of your lives, That you don't allow your flesh and the enemy to tell you that God has forsaken you, that he's no longer fighting for you. It's easy to begin thinking, well, if God cared, well, then maybe I wouldn't be facing some of the stuff that I'm facing. But that is why we must walk by faith and not by sight. Our eyes will tell us something sometimes, but really God is always there. Looking at verse 22 of Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions failed not." Israel was in a really, really, really bad place. But essentially, Jeremiah was saying, it could be worse. Whatever we're facing in life, it might be difficult to say this, but we still have to remember that it could be worse. If it wasn't for God's mercy, if it wasn't for his love, if it wasn't for his faithfulness, our circumstances could be worse. They should have been dead. Israel should have been finished. They had been warned for years, but somehow God did not give them exactly what they deserve. He never gave them the fullness of what they deserved. His faithfulness to his people caused his mercy to prevail. His faithfulness to his people always caused his faithfulness to prevail. I think of the old song, and Pastor mentioned it on Wednesday. I promise I prepared this before. But, you know, maybe it's not an old song, but I remember singing it as a kid. It says that if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? His faithfulness is great. The fact that you're still standing despite some of the things that you've had to overcome in life, the fact that you're still walking in spite of the things you're facing right now tells you that God is still there. He is still on your side. He is rooting for you tonight. We live in a world where people are often consumed by anger, by pain, by hate, and by hopelessness, simply because of the things life has dealt them. But it really doesn't have to be that way for them, and it doesn't have to be that way for anyone in this room tonight. Jeremiah said, I hate what's going on right now, but when I think of his mercy, when I think of his compassion, his love, when I think about the way that every day I receive a new portion, a new set of mercy from him, it returns to me every day. Because of it, we are still standing. All I can say is, his faithfulness is great. Is there anyone in the room tonight who can say, thank you, Jesus, for being so faithful to me? I can think of Sister Douglas, a saint that's now passed on. I think of how through sickness and pain, she could still go forward, and because she knew that God had not forsaken her. I think of Sister Ashby, the first saint to be baptized in this church. She's in a hospital bed, and she's been through sickness and age, and life has handed her some things. But I think, you know, she's probably told me 100 times over the years, God will always be good to me. Jesus is always good to me. She always has a great big smile on her face, no matter what it is. And she'll always say, Jesus will always take care of me. Jesus will always take care of us tonight, saints. And then there's Sister Thornhill. If you've ever asked her how she's doing, the answer that you probably got is the answer that I always get. Well, I'm just trusting in the Lord. She said that to me this morning. She said that to me this morning. I'm just trusting in the Lord. I'm just trusting in the Lord is the answer you will always get from Sister Thornhill, whether you're seeing her in person, whether you're on the phone. How are you doing, Sister Thornhill? Well, I'm just trusting in the Lord. Great is the faithfulness of God. He has been faithful to them. He has been faithful to our elders who have gone before us in the faith, because he has never forsaken them, no matter what. But what I love the most about the example of these saints, this example that they've given us, is that they show the importance of a relationship with God, especially when it comes to longevity. When it comes to living an entire life with God, they show us what a lifelong relationship with Jesus looks like. I mean, try telling Sister Ashby There's another way besides Jesus. It's not going to happen. She's 91 years old, and try telling her there's another way besides Jesus. She could be 120 years old. God has been so faithful to her over the years. She's lived so long with God over the years that no matter what might happen, you cannot tell her that there is another way besides Jesus, because according to Sister Ashby, Jesus will always take care of her. God has been faithful to them. And because God has been faithful to them, these saints have remained faithful to him. I know I use the scripture a lot, but let's look at Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23 in the New Living. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. The fruit of the Spirit. I really like the fruit of the Spirit. They show what the character of God is. They show us some of the things that make God, God. He really wouldn't be God without these things. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, he is God living in us, which means that everything that he is should begin to seep out of us. I really, really love this verse. And I use this verse a lot in my personal devotion time. And the reason I love it is simple. It reminds me what I'm supposed to look like. It's a good indication to me of how my relationship with Jesus is going. And yes, I know that we won't ever really completely master all of these things. It is a lifelong process that we allow him to work in us. But at the very least, I should love a little bit more than I did this time last year. At the very least, I should have a little bit more joy than I did this time last year. That is why I really love this verse. But what I find interesting as it pertains to our topic tonight is the seventh fruit. The King James will say faith. The New Living Translation says faithfulness. We are supposed to be faithful. Because it is a part of who God is, because it's a part of what makes him God, when he comes to live in me, the result is I become faithful. And that means on the job. I should be one of the most reliable people on the job. I should be loyal. I should show up and do whatever it is that I say I'm going to do. It means in friendships, we should be some of the most faithful friends anyone will ever have. It means in the work of the kingdom, we should be willing to show up and steadfastly do whatever it is that needs to be done. We are supposed to be the ones that can always be counted on, if we are like Jesus. You know, in a good marriage, both the husband and the wife are required to be faithful. If you have a situation where one is faithful and the other one is unfaithful, well, I'm guessing it's going to make for a pretty miserable experience. They're probably not that close, and their relationship is probably not doing so well. And so it is with our relationship with God. As it so happens, he is incredibly faithful. And if our relationship with him is going well, well, faithfulness is going to be one of the attributes that we exhibit in our lives as well. I wonder, are there times along the way where, like Judah, we find ourselves just a little bit unfaithful to him? What was Judah's major crime anyways? We know that one of the major crimes was that they served other gods, they put up shrines, and they served the heathen gods of the nations around them. But Jeremiah 5 and 31 gives us a pretty good insight on what was going on as well. It says that the prophets prophesied falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and he said that his people loved to have it so. Essentially, they did what they wanted to do. When you do what you want to do instead of what God wants to do, you are no longer a faithful member of that relationship. Anytime we put anything before God's will, we are essentially being unfaithful to Him. It's harsh. It's challenging. But have you ever made a decision without asking Jesus what He thought you should do? That's unfaithful, right? Has He gifted you with some ability, but you're not using it for the kingdom? It's harsh, it's challenging, but it's unfaithful as well. According to 1 Peter 4:10 at least, it says that as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every ability that God gives us is to glorify His name. God never gives us anything to glorify ourselves, to put ourselves up for ourselves to gain. Everything He gives us is so that we can give back to His kingdom. The gifts that He gives us are meant for the body, and if we do not use them, that equates to being unfaithful to the God that gave them to us. Just like if there's no love, there's no patience, there's no self-control. When we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we generally tend to look at the first few ones. But we do need to ask ourselves, how faithful am I to the God that's faithful to me? It's not as flashy as the love and the joy, but it's a necessary part of our walk. Faithfulness is so important to God that the first two commandments deal with our faithfulness to God. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 4. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Don't put anything or anyone else before me. If there's anything in our lives, in our minds, that have a higher place than God, then we are being unfaithful. If a television screen or a tablet or a phone has a higher priority than God, then we are being unfaithful. We might say that doesn't happen, but practically speaking, if we would analyze our lives, what would it tell us about our faithfulness to God? Do we really put Him first in all instances? Who do we really pay attention to first in our lives? How easily does circumstances make you want to give up from God? God never even thinks of giving up on us. Because He is faithful, it never even occurs to Him, even when we are at our lowest, of giving up on us. You see, faithfulness is a precious commodity. The ability to stick with Him no matter what, to do what He wants no matter what, to put Him first no matter what. And I say that along the way, we will fall short. We will make mistakes. We will have moments of unfaithfulness. Moments where we didn't quite wait on Him. We didn't quite stick to Him. And somehow, something in our lives found a higher place than Him. There will be times in our lives that we make bad decisions, and you will find yourself being a little less than faithful. It will happen, but when it does happen, you get up, you fess up, and you keep walking. Abraham was a man of great faith. He followed God when no one else did. He left a country and followed a God that he could not see to a place that he did not know. But even him, he had moments where he found himself a little less than faithful. But you see, the thing is that even in this moment, when he found himself a little less than faithful, God remained faithful to him. God kept every promise that He had made to this man. Even in our moments when we find ourselves a little less than faithful, the same God remains faithful to us. As I close, We will go to Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which is was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. God's faithfulness to us took him to the cross. Do you know that there are Christians and there are pastors in the world right now who are in jail for no other reason except that they professed Christ? They refuse to be unfaithful to Jesus. There are countries in the world where in order to have church, you have to hide. In order to be baptized, you have to hide. We have it really good in Canada. But there is coming a time, and I don't know when. It might be my generation. It might be the generation after me. But there is coming a time where even in Canada, the choice could be faithfulness to God or death. But until that time comes, we must walk in the footsteps of the saints that have traveled this road before us. We must choose God. We must say, I will serve God. I will be faithful to the God that is faithful to me. We must do it and we must say it until the time of our death. There is no other way but Jesus. I've chosen Jesus today and I will choose Jesus tomorrow and I will choose Jesus the day after that as well. I will be faithful to the God who is faithful to me. I know it's probably would have been a better message if I had only stuck to the part about God being faithful to us. It's a little bit more palatable. It's a little bit more easier to swallow. We all like to talk about what we think that God's responsibilities are towards us, but church, as Jesus returns, as his return becomes closer, we must become more concerned with what our responsibilities are towards God. Do you know that the world has no problem with God? The world really has no problem with God. As long as they are allowed to see God as a God that gives and gives and gives and gives and gives some more without ever requiring anything in return. The world is fine with him. As long as he does what they think he ought to do for them. But we, the body of Christ, must become more concerned about what our responsibilities are to him. He is not going to grant us entrance into heaven because he was faithful to us. He's not going to say well done because he did what we wanted him to do, because he always stuck by us even in the times where we were so rotten that he probably should not have. We are not going to be granted entrance into eternal life based on what he has done for us, the promises he's kept for us. Our entrance depends on our faithfulness towards the God that was faithful to us no matter what. Will you stand with me tonight, please? In the middle of a people who had completely turned their backs on God, in the middle of judgment, destruction, and heartbreak, I can still think of one person in Jerusalem who remained faithful to God. In the middle of a city on fire, I can still think of one person who remained faithful to God. In the middle of a great empire invading, I can still think of one person who was faithful to God. In the middle of all his friends and family and everyone he knows being taken captive to a foreign land, I can still think of one person that was faithful to God. In the middle of all the pain and heartache, I can still think of one person who was faithful to God in Jerusalem. Is there a Jeremiah in the room with us tonight? Is there a Jeremiah among us tonight who can look at something that's transpired in your life and say, everything might not have been that great, but when I look to the future, I see hope because his mercy comes back to me new every day. My God is a faithful God. Because the place where the past and the future intersects, God remains faithful. Always in my presence, God is faithful. Wherever I am, he is always faithful in that moment. He is not just faithful in my past. He will not just be faithful in my future. But wherever I am, the ever-present God is faithful. The question I'd like to ask tonight is probably not the question you thought I was going to ask when I started, but it was the question that I feel we need to ask to ourselves. Living in a world surrounded by an sinful, unrepentant world demands that we be willing to ask of ourselves difficult questions. And so my question tonight is simply, how faithful have you been to God? How faithful have you been to the God that's been so faithful to you? Are you willing tonight to say, I will be faithful. I will follow him no matter what. Will you find a place to pray? Reconsecrate yourself to God and say, Jesus, as of this moment, I pledge you my heart, my mind, my soul. I will be faithful till the day of my death. Will you find a place to pray tonight?
Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies.